Hey, hi, welcome. It's not Lowell Green, in case you missed it. Lowell Green announced on Friday, very suddenly as a matter of fact, that that was his last show. So off to the island of sanity for retirement for Lowell, and of course we wish him absolutely the best. What a treasure. What a treasure to have gotten a chance to work this closely with him for a long, long time. And I'm going to carry on the tradition of trying to have conversations about the things that matter. But this is, of course, not the Lowell Green Show. There can only be one of those. I'm John Milkey, and this show is called It's Your Call, because I want to make sure we continue engaging in great conversations. Those are so important. So itsyourcall.ca is the website. And when you go there, you'll be able to find all the links on how to watch and how to listen. There is also, by the way, a video camera link. So if you click on that and you want to appear by video, you can do that. You'll be put into a waiting room for a little bit. I will get you on as soon as I can. And if you're uncomfortable being on cam, hey, no problem. You can turn your camera off. Just leave your audio on so we can hear you. So itsyourcall.ca. So yeah, Lowell had the island of sanity. I'm going to refer to this more as, let's say, the RV park of common ground. if I can, slightly twist his words around. So listen. Wow, Stephanie, thank you so much. Good to see you, Sam. Thank you, Terry, Bob, Woodenhead, Valda, Tina Marie. Nice to see some of the same people that we've had a chance to have conversations with for a while. Some of you know me from my music side of my radio career. Others got to know me a little bit thanks to Lowell Green. So let's see if we can't bring this all together. And listen. Right out of the gate, let me say, we are going to be relying heavily on your participation in this show. It's one thing when you've got a co-host on here and they've at least got a live microphone. You can bounce ideas off each other. I'm sitting in the studio by myself on this one. So your calls, your texts, your emails, your social media posts, and like I said, you can even appear via video, and a brand new phone number for the show. Lowell's number, the number we're using for Lowell, is still active. I don't know how much longer it's going to be active for, however. Suffice to say, I'm not going to be paying the bill on another phone line going forward. So, 613-604-6464. That's the new number. If you've already got us in your phone, if you would update that, please. 613-604-6464. So some of the topics that I bandied about over the weekend, saw somebody post that they're not seeing very many poppies out there. I am guilty of that. I don't leave the house much. And so I haven't had a chance to, where do you even get a poppy these days? Are they still, I'm just not in stores. My wife, however, works retail, and she says, yep, she is seeing poppies. So there's that. The clocks went back this weekend. I know that bugs a lot of folks. I'm indifferent to it. I don't mind it. Mind you, I'm a bit of a night owl, too, so perpetual darkness doesn't bother me as much. The CFL has lost me. I have been a CFL fan for a long time. I don't know what the hell they're doing. They announced their halftime show for the Grey Cup, and I've been doing music radio for almost 30 years. I think one of the guys is from Florida Georgia Line. I don't know who these people are, is what I'm saying. The Sens, for sale. How do you feel about that? One of the stipulations is they must remain in Ottawa. So there you go. Those are some of the topics that I was looking at. But let's begin with the big news that happened just a short time ago. And that is that educational support staff are going back to work tomorrow. So the question is, was Doug Ford right to use some strong-arm tactics to put the notwithstanding clause in effect? And I ask this because I am stunned by the posts that I've been seeing on my social media feed from people, give the workers what they want. I support the workers. One person on my Facebook even has gone so far as to turn all of the lights on their house purple in support of the worker. Huh. Okay. And I get it. Now, they've agreed to go back to work, and we'll continue negotiations. Is that the right thing to do? Is that kind of where we find the common ground here? You know, getting everybody back to work and the students get to continue having their education? That's kind of the question here. I'm fascinated by the fact, though, that so many people are now saying Doug Ford has to go after this. He's got to go. He's crossed the line. What was he supposed to do? In your opinion, 613-604-6464, or on Facebook, or on YouTube, or on Twitch, what other option did Doug Ford have? What would any premier have had. Valda says, yep, Doug was right. The children have missed enough school. That's kind of what I'm getting at. And, you know, I think the conversation might be different if you sat down with people. Oh, by the way, one person on my Facebook even said it was triggering them. This whole thing was triggering them, bringing up memories of their childhood abuse. Okay. I'd love an explanation on that. So I understand supporting the worker, but are you really okay with your kids not going to class again? After all the homeschooling, et cetera, that they've had for the course of this pandemic, are you really okay with that? And, okay, who pays for this? The government. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Stop saying that. The government does not pay for anything. You pay for it. I pay for it. They're called taxes. And the government does not have an endless supply of funds to be paying everybody everything that they want. And look, do I think they deserve a raise? Sure. I think everybody deserves a raise at some point or another. By the way, I worked in private industry for a lot of years. I went the last 5, maybe 6 years of my career, zero raise. Zero. Budget cuts all around me. We can't even afford Christmas parties. I would have loved to raise 1%. 11%, though, is excessive. Would the conversation be different if we phrased it like this? Okay. The average income for an educational support worker is $39,000, roundabout. Okay. They're asking for an 11% pay increase. Have you received an 11% pay increase? Have you? Do you know anyone who has had an 11% pay increase? Let's be honest. That's a huge ask. So if these workers are currently making $39,000, yes, I know, it's 11% over 4 years. I understand that. But that increase would put them at $43,290. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but that works out to be $4,290 approximately per employee. Okay, there are 55,000 of them. Let's do the math on that. Let's take the numbers, okay? 55,000 workers at $4,290. Your dollars, my dollars, tax dollars. That is $235.9 million. You write the check for that. Okay? I've done more math. And trust me, if you went to school with me, if you were one of my teachers, you know, me doing math, that's why. Why, John? Why would you know your strengths, John? Math is not your strength. Well, here we go. With 14.57 million residents in Ontario, the raise, should we give them that 11%, by the way, over the course of whatever number of years, that equals $16.19 per resident. Per resident. So if you've got four people living in your house, you are being asked essentially to write a check for $64. Okay. Along come the healthcare workers, also paid, by the way, by the province, by your tax dollars. They would also like you to write them a check, please, for $64 for your household. Along come the people who work at Service Ontario. Could you please write them a check as well for $64? Oh, here come the doctors and the nurses. They're paid as well by the government, your tax dollars. While you've got the checkbook out, if you could please write them a check for $64 for your household. Where does it end? Where does it end? First text into the new show. It's yourcall.ca. 613-604-6464. Yes, Doug Ford was correct. Kids have suffered enough. That seems to be the consensus. Let's go to some of your comments. Ann says, not all of these workers are full-time, so the yearly salaries quoted by the union are part-time. Ann, yes, I'm aware of that, and that's why I said their income. I didn't say their salaries. I said their income. Peter says, MPPs didn't need a yearly pay raise either. In tough times, everyone else is tightening the belt, so it should start at the top. MPPs, MP city councillors, reduce costs in offices of said elected officials. Peter, I could not agree with you more. You know, that speaks to leadership. And in my opinion, a leader, a true leader, takes one for the team, right? Leads by example. And if you've ever read some of the books by people like Simon Sinek, Simon speaks very eloquently in his, I think it's called It Begins With Why, the first book he put out, and he's so right. If I'm a boss in a corporation and I'm being faced with or being directed to having to lay off workers, well, a leader, before they stand up and just start slashing jobs, will say, okay, staff, I have done everything I can to try and save as many jobs as I can. I have taken a salary cut. But even that's not enough. That's a leadership. And you're right. I'm not seeing that with councillors, with MPPs, with MPs. They keep voting themselves raises on our dime. It is frustrating. A leader, a true leadership would say, you know what? No, we're not doing raises this year. The economy's in the crapper. It's not the time for this. Teachers and support staff says Bob should be deemed essential. No more strikes. Okay, so then what's the alternative, Bob? Do workers not have a right to stand up for themselves, though? And demand? I mean, that's what the whole strike and union movement was about, and that's why it came to be. Employers were taking way too much advantage of the employees, and unions stepped in to speak for them and to get them what they deserved. Again, the question here is, where's the common ground? What's the consensus? To Facebook, and David says, back in the 1980s, the teachers were on a strike for 5 weeks, grade 10 for me. On a personal note, my mother had a stroke during that time, and I was home to help her. Otherwise, she would have been alone all day. Well, that's got to be one of those things, David, that you and your life are looking back at and going, well, everything for a reason. I vaguely remember that strike, and awful, absolutely awful. But this is the thing. Like, we're coming out of 2 years of a pandemic where the students haven't been in school, which is already, it's got to be taking a toll on their psyche. It really does. And then to be bounced around like this, and they end up being, you know, willingly or unwillingly, and I don't care, you know, all the jibber jabber on both sides. The kids are in the middle of this. Whether you say I'm not putting the kids in the middle or not, the kids are in the middle of this. At the end of the day, they are. And I understand if you strike in the summertime when the kids are not in school, you don't have the same clout. Therefore, kids are absolutely a bargaining chip. Renee is on Twitch, twitch.tv/BTR radio. Unions should read the room. Private companies cannot afford an 11% raise even over 4 years. I don't think they care. But I mean, isn't, again, it's the union's job, isn't it, to go after the 11 and settle for the 5 or the 6 or wherever we end up settling in all this? Some have been without a contract for 1.5 years. Okay. I spent 5 years with my contract not being renewed. I still got paid. I didn't get a pay increase. Why are we entitled to this? I don't think that's an invalid question either. Why are we entitled to a raise? You're not even entitled to a job. There's nothing that says you have a right to a job. You have a right to seek employment. I mean, if I'm really upset that my salary hasn't increased and that I've been without a contract for 1.5 years, is it not up to me? And this is, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I want to find that middle ground, right? I want to get into a conversation and see what things we do agree on. So should I not, therefore, if I'm unhappy with my salary, if I've been 1.5 years without contracts, and if that really pisses me off, if it really upsets me, is that somebody else's responsibility to step up and offer me that? Or is it my responsibility to step away from the job I'm in and perhaps pursue a different job? That's always been my attitude. And I'll be blunt. There were a lot of years where I should have done that, a lot of opportunities I should have taken that I didn't. So I can't get too down on myself for, you know, oh, I didn't get a raise. I didn't get a cost of living increase. Well, I also didn't take advantage of opportunities that came my way, that if that really mattered to me, I would have been more proactive on. Satan's Playmate, and can those on ODSP, CPP get the same increase? They only got 0.025%. Well, this is exactly, see, so here we go. Well, they got that. I want that. I mean, this is playground stuff, right? Johnny got a licorice. I want a licorice. It just, it never seems to end. Woodenhead says, my next few raises are being eaten up by the stupid price of diesel fuel. I'm sure my boss would love to pay me more. There isn't enough money for that at $2.40 per liter of diesel. Exactly. And that's private industry. I mean, you know, government money doesn't just come from government. They don't just print money. They send you and I an invoice and a bill for that. It's Your Call is the name of the show, 613-604-6464. I have two topics today. We're going to move on to a second one here in just a moment, so let me squeeze in a couple of last comments. Chris says, I'm not a fan of unions in Canada. I see the value in the USA where employees have fewer rights. Up here, the labor laws are tight. A lot of labor laws, though, Chris, are tight because of the union's impact. So the only reason a union exists is to fight for wages. In my opinion, that's up to the employer. If you're unhappy with your employer, if you're unhappy with your salary, you find a new job. The employer will or should react if they can't retain staff. Chris, yeah, that's, like I said, that's kind of been my feeling on this for a long, long time. You know, look at the situation we're in. Everywhere you go now, there's help wanted signs in store windows. So it's not like there's a shortage of jobs. There are other opportunities for people to move into, and it's a supply and demand thing. You're absolutely right. If all of a sudden I cannot find, and look at McDonald's. And look at other places. They are, you know, there's signs out front. They're offering benefits. They're offering paid vacation. It's set, you know, all of these other incentives to try and lure people in. This is how we move the bar. It's a supply and demand. The supply isn't there. The demand is. And when schools find themselves unable to hire, they'll have to sit down and rework their budgets with the government somehow. All right. We need the support workers, says Kelly. They are vital. Don't disagree with you there. They need to be paid more. Okay. Don't disagree with you there either. But 11% over the course of 4 years, Kelly. I don't know where you work, but are you getting an 11% pay increase over 4 years? Doubt it. James, come on, John. They can't fall back on their gender studies degrees. Okay. Mark says the jobs problem is simple. The open jobs aren't the ones the masses want. Okay. But if you need a job, can you afford to be picky? I may not want that job, but if it's a step sideways to get me forward, Mark, and you and I, Mark comes from a radio background as well, so he and I have had very similar experiences. I mean, that's kind of what you do, right? This may not be the best market for me to go to, but, you know, or the best time slot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if it ultimately gets me to where I need to go, then, yeah, I need to take a look at it. There's a lot of complacency. And again, I do have a second subject that I want to get to here. We are 19 minutes into the show, and I'm only going to do this till 2:30 for this little while anyway. If I get great response to this show and we want to extend it to an hour, heck yeah, I will extend it to an hour. By the way, just a reminder, if you want to appear via video call, you can do that as well. And if you're uncomfortable being on cam, no problem. Just turn your camera off. But if you go to itsyourcall.ca. No increase, but I don't get bitten or scratched at work either, says Kelly. Kelly, look at that. We found some common ground. We found a reason to laugh at the situation. Last word to Linda on this. Some people like this job as they are off when their kids are off. Summers are paid, EI, and get whole summers free, Christmas, Easter, and reading week off. It may not be the job for a one-wage earner. Absolutely get it. But if it's not the right job for that person, is it not their responsibility, is what I'm asking, to move themselves to a better situation? And maybe that situation's not out there for some of them. I get that too. All right, good conversation. Thank you so much. I do look for more interaction, especially on the phone and by video chat. I will get you to a point where you'll be craving to be on this show. Make you world freaking famous. There you go. So let's put that to bed. The good news is, at the end of the day, and I think we can all agree on this, they're going back to work tomorrow. And The kids are going to get... My phone's asking me for all kinds of information. Your kids are going to get the education, and the people who are there to give them that education are going to be in the schools, which is awesome. Can we talk about 24 Sussex? That's the next subject I want to bring up. 24 Sussex. Chris Fraser is calling in here. Hang on. Chris Fraser. For some reason, Chris, it's ringing through on my other phone. Stand by, Chris. Stand by. Let me plug that in. Chris Fraser, are you there? Chris Fraser hung up on me. Chris, if you would try your call again, please, 613-604-6464. I'm using an app right now, and it goes to two different phones. I want to talk about 24 Sussex Drive, if we can. So, article, I believe, was in the National Post. Read this just this morning. There's nobody living at 24 Sussex. I don't know if you know this. There's nobody living at 24 Sussex right now. Place has been empty since Stephen Harper was no longer the prime minister. 7 years. 7 years. There's Chris Fraser. Chris, are you there? Chris, I don't know what I've done to the damn phone. Hang on. We'll get this figured out. Growing pains as I switch things over. So nobody's lived at 24 Sussex now for 7 years. And yet, according to this report today, National Post, you and I are on the hook for $146,694 this year for upkeep at 24 Sussex. The NCC says that to rebuild it, top to bottom, $40 million. $36.6 million is the number that they actually quote. $36.6 million. Or do we tear it down? Get this. Here's what's on the invoice that you and I have paid for 24 Sussex. Heat and hydro for 24 Sussex. $200 per day in the past year for heat and hydro. Nobody lives there. Water, of course, is not included in that price. All right. Taxpayers paid Ottawa Hydro $59,027 for electricity and the residents. Sorry, electricity in the residence and the pool building for 12 months, $161 a day. We're paying for hydro in the residence at 24 Sussex where nobody lives. And the pool building. Who's swimming in the pool? The place is condemned. Why? Why is the pool even open? Drain it. Drain the pool. Makes no sense. It doesn't end there, by the way. The Enbridge gas bills, $14,000. Hang on, we got a phone call coming in. Let's go to the phone. Who's this? Hello? Hello? I don't know. I've done something, guys. I'll carry on. This is a long list of stuff that we've paid for. Enbridge gas, $14,565. Oh, by the way, there's no central air conditioning at 24 Sussex, just so you know. It's all window air conditioners, which apparently are running. Nobody lives there. I'll get to what's going on at 24 Sussex in just a moment. You're paying for this. Water and sewer bills. Average $600 every 2 months. Nobody's living there, but somebody's using water. Okay. Apparently, there was an issue with some lights. Some of the lights started shorting out. My solution. Tell me if I'm wrong. Call me crazy if you wish. My solution would be, if nobody's living there, take the lights down. Maybe go to Rona. Maybe go to Canadian Tire, Home Hardware. And you know those, the basic white plastic doohickey, you know, that screws to the box in the ceiling and a light bulb. Maybe do that. No. The old lights with nobody living there have been replaced at a cost to you and I of 4,000 $825. Can somebody please go to Amazon right now and tell me how many light fixtures they can get for $4,825? You've got to be kidding me. Oh, yes. Back to the pool, by the way. The pool that nobody should be using because nobody's living there. Scheduled maintenance, $5,200. Here's a comment from Satan's playmate. Mike Holmes offered to fix the place up and was turned down. Yeah, Mike Holmes is being sued by a community that he built, by the way. I'm not sure that we want Mike Holmes involved. I got some questions about Mike Holmes and what's going on there right now. It's a whole other conversation. Yeah, so the pool maintenance, $5,200. Consultants. Of course, we have to have consultants. Consultants to investigate the integrity of the building. We already knew the building needs to come down. The NCC has given us the price tag, $40 million. No, we've got consultants back in there again going, yep, the integrity of the building, $24,000. Oh, and then we did an asbestos abatement for $5,827. There's nobody living at 24 Sussex. You and I are footing the bill for this place, if you can believe it, to the tune. where's the price again? Ah, I have it here somewhere. An obscene amount of money. Ridiculous amounts of money. What do we do with this place? By the way, oh, I told you I would tell you what's going on at 24 Sussex. Here's the kicker. Ain't nobody living there. Part of 24 Sussex is still used as office space by some staff from the Prime Minister's office. Why? And why do they have use of the pool? Last time I checked, in the city of Ottawa, ain't nobody working in any of the office buildings downtown. We seem to have a lot of office space available everywhere I look for lease, for lease, for lease, for lease, for lease. We have Prime Minister's office staff working at 24 Sussex. Somebody said earlier that some of the meals are still being prepared there. You're telling me that there's not an adequate kitchen for all the groceries? We already know what the grocery bill is for the Prime Minister and his family. We already know what the grocery bill is. Are you telling me there are not adequate facilities at Rideau Cottage, the guest house on the grounds of Rideau Hall, where the Governor General is living? There's not an adequate kitchen in the place? Could we back up a food truck, maybe? A couple of fryers, a microwave, a grill. The chef will not work at the kitchen at the cottage, says Anne. I'm dying to know why. And okay, why not? And if you're not willing to work in that kitchen, should we maybe find someone who is willing to work in that kitchen? And my apologies, by the way, again, to those who tried to call the show. Obviously, we have an issue, which I will resolve. We do have a text, though, 613-604-6464. Person says, this just keeps getting worse and worse. Why do we have any water and sewer costs? Drain the water, set it up like a house when you are not living there. LED light fixtures are cheap to install and use. Yeah, I was looking at LED light fixtures for my RV. I think they're like $6 a piece. Like, there's nothing. It's outrageous. It is outrageous. Let's get to that again. 146,000. Let's call it $150,000 a year you and I are paying to maintain 24 Sussex in its current way, shape, or form. Nobody's lived there since 2015. Heat and hydro. $200 a day. Hydro Ottawa, $59,027 for electricity and the pool building for the last year. $161 a day. Enbridge gas bill, $15,000. $4,825 to replace lights in a building nobody lives in. Consultants, what kills me, $24,000 and an asbestos abatement. You want to do this again tomorrow? Let's do this again tomorrow. I'm calling it It's Your Call, and I look forward to your phone calls. As soon as I figure out how to get the phone working, we'll have you on by video call as well. Your thoughts, your comments on this show and what you'd like to see are always welcome as well. My email address is Milky, M-I-L-K-Y, it's M-I-L-K-Y, at blasttheradio.com. We miss you, Lowell Green. This is not easy on your own. Thank you to all who tuned in today, because you certainly made it easier, as you are so used to hearing. Thank you. Back tomorrow.